Are you ready for this?
Sean Merriman, a one-hand sack. Boom, 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 out go the lights.
This is Lights Out with Sean Merriman.
What's up, guys? We're back again with another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. And wow. One of the guys who I love to watch, but I hated to play against. And we'll get into it a little bit, but it was a game I recall back in 2007 against the Minnesota Vikings when I was with the Chargers. You know, this guy named Adrian Peterson. just straight breaking records. And, you know, I had the pleasure of watching LaDainian Tomlinson every day in practice. And I still say today he's, you know, he's one of the best running backs that ever played a game. So you see him every day and you get numb to seeing greatness. And then you get a chance to see another running back that is also a great running back, and that's Adrian Peterson. I've never seen anyone that I've got a chance to play against run the way he did. We played him in 2007 and continue to play as well as he's playing. We talked about a long time ago and how long he wanted to play. He told me he wanted to play 3-4 more years, and this was 2-3 years ago. Now he wants to play 3-4 more years, but I'll let him break down into that. So if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan and a fan of Adrian Peterson, man, you're going to love this one. How you feeling?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good.
That's crazy, dog. Hey, I was just telling him, he said, did you and AP play against each other? I said, yo, listen. Yeah, oh, we did. They said, oh, you talking about that game. So real talk, man. I wanted to ask you about that. I know we talked about it a long time ago at the at Tim Tebow's. Mm-hmm. But in 2007, when we came out there and played y'all, and I mean, obviously, we know we coming to town. We know we're going to have to deal with you anyway, regardless. We know what was coming about. But I was like, man, it was a different kind of Adrian Peterson, dog, that day. Still to this day, I always, when people ask me, I said, I really don't know what was going through his head or what happened before that game, because I don't think I'd never seen anybody run that angry, dog. Like, with that whole week, you were just ready to go.
I was, man. I was pumped up. You know, it was a fact that I was going against you guys, you know. And, of course, like, watching you guys growing up, that just made me more excited because I'm always like, I love playing against great defensive players and great defenses. And that, you guys were really good.
Hey, yo, but when I got home, I didn't even look at, I was scared to look at my phone. When we got home, my phone was going off in the, we just sit on the team bus. Yo, AP went nuts. I said, yo, listen, anybody talk to me right now, I'm about to get pissed off because I never, man, it was one play. Y'all had you ran to the right, but you bounced it. So I'm sitting outside, and I got the right tackle. I'm fully extended. Mm. I got him outside, and I knew you was about to bounce it. I'm sitting there watching because your shoulder, when you came up, you took a step and turned your shoulders almost fully towards the sideline. Mm. And I'm sitting there. I'm holding the tackle. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to get him. I'm about to get him. And you turned your shoulders and ran this way straight to the sideline and then ran up. And I jumped and whiffed. Boom, and they hit nothing. And look, I went up and I looked up when I was laying down, and all I saw was cleats. I said, "Oh shit!" Hey. And I knew I was gonna be on the film, dog.
Hey, I don't know if it was that chocolate bar I had at halftime. I don't know. I don't know. And then on top of that, LT was on the other side too.
Right.
So
I'm gonna ask you about that too.
Yeah.
Because LT, was he somebody that, you know, you kind of watched growing up too? Like, yeah. What's like, you had your top three guys in that era. I mean, obviously you got the, you know, Walter Paytons and guys like that. I mean, but like out of that era between like, you know, late 90s and early 2000s, what were some of the guys you kind of watched growing up?
Yeah, so LT definitely was a guy that I watched a lot. Emmitt Smith, because I grew up a Cowboys fan. So
yeah,
I loved watching him. And Eddie George and Terrell Davis, you know, those were the guys that I pretty much kind of watched and, you know, kind of patterned my game after.
See, and you know, that's crazy to me because when I got there with the Chargers and I'm watching LT, obviously I watched him on TV and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm playing with him on the team. So I don't really, you see it every day, right? It's just normal for him to go right, jump, you know, on the right foot and stuff like that. But after that game in 2007, I walked up, and I'll never forget. I walked up to LT. I said, L, that dude's something else, man. Like that, I seen some. I watch you every day in practice, man. But that dude was something else. And L loved watching you too, man. He told me after the game, because he, I don't know if he ever told you, but he was coming off of the sideline. Even when you were running, he wasn't sitting down. He was coming up there and watching you.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. But yeah, LT was a guy that I loved growing up, man.
And who would you say this that was, I guess, because I'm trying to think, man, you had like it was almost like you ran a stride of like an Eddie George, right? Because that was one of the guys I always wished. And I told Eddie, we used to have a show on Fox Sports some time ago. I would tell him all day on set. I said, "Man, I wish we played you a long time ago, man. I would have stuck you right in the." But he was just one of the guys. I was like, man, he was just kind of unreal. You know, I think he was like around 6'3" and 230. Mm-hmm. And you guys, to me, watching y'all run, it was like kind of similar because he kind of ran, but his knees were always high. He was always digging, and that's when I seen you, man. I was like, wow, this is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, so it was guys like it, you know, Eddie George that. You know, because, of course, coming through high school, all people had to say was, oh, man, he runs too high. He's too tall for this position. So, you know, those taller backs were guys that I really looked at, that I kind of looked at their game and seen the success that they had. And I'm just like, man, I can do the same thing.
Right. And you're still doing it, which is crazy, man. And I just told Vito, my producer, I said, a few years ago, we was at the Tim Tebow charity event for the golf tournament, and we were riding back in the car, and I remember you saying at the time, and this was probably about two years ago now, I remember you saying at the time that you wanted to play like, you know, 4 or 5 more years or somewhere, you know, somewhere around there. And I'm not gonna lie, dude, in my head I was like, hold on, you know, 4 or 5 more years. you can't fathom it. You can almost say it's impossible, but you can't fathom it. For one, the game is already hard. And then two, you play one of the toughest positions because of how you know, how many collisions you do. So when you said that, man, I turned back around in my seat. I didn't say that. I looked back at my phone and I was thinking to myself, 4 or 5 years? Like, hell no. That was just going to my head. But man, that's, you know, now we're the third or fourth year in from the time you had said that.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you feel, man? What's your body been like, and how have things like changed body wise and your mentality of it now?
Mm-hmm. My body feels good, you know, and unfortunately, you know, I really don't get too many carries here the past, you know, so that definitely helps out a lot as well. But just taking care of my body, man, you know, I think mentally I still love the game. I'm still into it. You know, so that's the most important thing. And I always told myself, if I saw losing a love for the game and competing, then I would just walk away from it. But, you know, I've been blessed with a talent and an ability, man, and it's not declining. You know, I've yet to feel like, okay, I can't quite, you know, it's some things that I lost, you know, but not completely, but not to the point where I'm just like, man, okay, I need to go ahead and hang the cleats up. You know, I still can be productive in a major way and still run that rock.
How's it been? Because once you make your name with an organization, right, and I say this because I dealt with it leaving the Chargers and then going to Buffalo to the Bills. How was it walking into a new locker room, man? Because you have made such a big name for yourself and a staple in the NFL, like, how will you perceive walking to somebody else? You got the young kids looking up or saying certain things, or like, how was that the first time you left Minnesota?
It was cool, to be honest with you. You know, I always kind of wondered what it would be like to play for other teams. You know, I never was that guy. Like, for instance, Larry, you know, when I talked to him, you know, he's all about being with one team, retiring one team. But I've always been like, you know what, I wouldn't mind playing for different teams just to get the feel of the organization, the culture there. So going into New Orleans, man, it was they opened their arms to me and just embraced me, you know. And the best part of it was, like you say, these young guys, you know, just the respect that they have for me, you know, and being able to be around those guys, inspire those guys, see how I work. And, you know, be able to see how those guys, you know, work as well. You know, when I left New Orleans, I probably signed maybe like 20 jerseys, like no lie, You know, they were just going to the
from the guys on the team.
Yeah, from guys on the team.
Yeah,
they were just going to the equipment room like, "Hey, man, we gotta get this. We gotta get this. We know it was gonna be this short, but we gotta get this before you head out." You know, so like, and even till today, you know, come here to Detroit at the beginning of the season, and you know, Kerryon Johnson, you know, Swift, DeAndre Swift, these young guys, you know, they looked up to me. You know,
right?
I inspired them as they was growing up. You know, Bo as well. You know, so it's cool to be around these guys and to continue to be doing it at a good level, because it inspires them to be like, man, you know, they say 4 to 5 years is the stretch for a running back, but hey, AP, you're 14. You know, we can do the same thing. You know, so that's what it's really about to me.
Has the locker room changed? I remember talking to Antonio Gates, right? Now, this is probably about maybe a year, but a couple years before he retired. And, you know, he came in, I think Antonio Gates came in when he was 2003 or four, and then he kind of came in when we came in, and he had the early, you know, 2014, 15, 16 and up. And he always said, "Lights, man, everything's different." You know, it was different from when y'all was in here. Like now, you know, everybody on social media and everybody, you know what I mean? Like the whole, have you sensed that, like from coming in to how things are now when you go in the locker room?
Yeah, it's totally different. It's totally different. And it's good that these organizations put rules in place, because you're still with this on Instagram, you know, ain't no telling at all. But, you know, just even like the music these guys listen to, you know, they're a lot more flashier as well.
You know? Right.
They do all this dancing and all this stuff. I'd be like, man.
Because, you know, we normally used to go to the locker room. You got Pastor Troy. You got Lil Jon. You got, you know what I mean, all the East Side. But you got all the street bangers.
Yeah.
And you getting hyped up. And now I see some of the guys, like, going, like, dancing, competing each other on the way in the locker room. I'm like, dude, I'm not dancing. I'm going in to rock somebody.
I know. It's funny, man. But it's cool just to kind of see how the culture it changed throughout the locker room, from locker room to locker room, and through the years, too.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just telling my producer, Vito, right before you came on. So I was in 2007. I think we were down at the Pro Bowl. It was 2007. Well, actually, it's two parts of this story, right? So the first part, and I don't think I ever talked to you about it yet, or maybe I have, when I met your dad. I met your dad in the elevator. So I was going over to work out in the morning. This is probably like a Monday or Tuesday morning or something like that. I was going to get a workout in before practice. And I came over there and somebody was in the gym already, but I didn't really know, you know, who it was. He wasn't a player, wasn't a coach. And at first I thought it was James Harrison from the back. Because, you know, he had a clothes and stuff like that. And I met him for the first time, man. He came up and shook my damn hand. And we came in there. And I don't know if David tell you that we got a quick workout in that day?
Yeah, he told me.
Oh, he did. That. He did. Okay. Yes, we got a workout in, man. So I said, you know what? All this shit makes sense. You know what I'm saying? When I seen him. And, man, he was he – does that where you get that from, man? Was he always, like, kind of on you, going, you know, when he came down there to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
He's always been like that.
He's always been like that. Like, still to this day, he'll call me, like, during all season. I'll wake up and I have a missed call or missed text 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30. "Hey, I'm in the gym getting my workout in. Where you at? What you doing? You know? I'm getting better today." You know, I'd be like, "I'm capping, man. Get going." But yeah, you know, he instilled that in me. You know, I remember going to the YMCA with him all the time. And I'll be out there, of course, like playing basketball with the kids and stuff. But him and his people, they'll be in the weight room working out, you know, and grinding. And it was something that it was routine for him. It was consistent, you know, and still to this day, it's consistent, you know. So I know I get a lot of that from him, that mental toughness and that mindset to grind, that work ethic, and my mom as well.
So, you know, it's crazy you say that, because and this is a question I always wanted to ask you, because I know how close you are with your sons and your kids and stuff too. And with my son's 10 years old, and I always go through the battle of, like, pushing him to go harder, mm-hmm. or kind of just stepping back, because, you know, he's already got enough pressure already. You know, he's carrying the last name. And, you know, if I'm around and people expect him to do you know, be this immaculate athlete and do all this stuff. And I'm like, I just want to kind of sit back and let him do his thing and coach him up as needed. You know, everybody, even when I'm at his football games, they think I'm going to just run on the field and start, you know, yelling and screaming and getting everybody hyped. But I kind of, in a sense, I want to sit back because I don't want to be that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. Because I played in the league and you know, you got status and you got status. Do you ever, or you just, are you on your kids? You push them and how does that work with you, man? Because I battle with that back and forth a lot.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's tough, you know, but, you know, I try to kind of come with the same approach as you, you know, especially at this age right now. Like Adrian, he's just turned 9. You know, Axel, he's 5. My other boys, they're young. They're younger. My oldest boy is 11. So, you know, I try to do more talking to them, you know, because I don't want to feel like I'm forcing something on them. Right. You know, I want them to want to play whatever sport it is, you know. So I want them to play. And then when I see that they're interested in it, then that's when I kind of pick it up a little bit, you know, the intensity, and let them know. They're like, hey, if you want to accomplish X, Y, and Z, then this is the type of work that you have to put in, you know. And when I see them not doing things right, I'll correct them. You know, I'll get on them from time to time, but I'm not just like down their throats about it. You know, I'm always just kind of telling them stories or trying to, you know, let them know like, hey, if you're trying to accomplish this, you have to work at this level because you have other kids that you are, you know, you're competing against as well. You're not just competing against yourself. So they actually respond to it well, you know, so that's been working for me. You know, I'm trying not to fall in my dad's footsteps because I have a younger brother. He's cold now. He's cold. He play he used to play for Primetime League down there in Dallas. And I'm telling you.
He's nice.
He's nice. But my dad was like down his throat like a drill sergeant. I'm like, Dad, chill out. Let Nelson, you know, let him breathe a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and then they carry that last name. You know what I mean? Like, if your son out there playing, you got – and I tell my son this, you got to expect for people to take their best shot, right? Because they always want to come in. Adrian Peterson's kid out there running the ball, they're going to be like, yo, I want to go hit AP's kid. You know what I mean? Just whether it's Cloud or whether it's whatever that is, like, you're going to have to bring your A game all the time because people know who you are.
Exactly.
So I got to explain that to my son all the time.
Yeah. That's just kind of, you know, that's kind of what it is, man. What it is. So, you know, that's why I went, what I'm saying, like, as far as talking to him and explaining to him, like,
yeah,
you know, I want you to be better than I was, you know, but you got to understand that the work you put in, you'll see the results from that, you know, so you can't really be mad at no one but yourself, you know. Don't let other ones put limitations on you. Don't let what other people think about you or what they feel you should be accomplishing. Don't let that waver in your mind or anything. You know what I'm saying? Know what you want to be or what you want to accomplish. Lock in on it, put the work in, and then you'll see it. You'll see it manifest.
So what I be thinking, man, like, cause when I see you still running it, even when you break some of the long ones, I can't tell the difference from year 14 or year, you know, year 6. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure you feel it, you know, like, for the people don't know and understand, you got the hot tub, the cold tub, you probably have, you know, your masseuse and stuff coming and things like that, man. But I look and I'm like, how in the hell, you know, you're 14 and, you know, you're still looking the same. How many more years you want to do this, man? Like, what else do you want to do after this? How many more years you think you got any that you want to keep going?
Yeah, I feel like I have about 4 more years. You know, I'll be 36 in March.
Man, hold on. Man, go ahead.
Man, listen, I'm telling you, man, God's willing, and, you know, continue to bless me with good health. My body feels good, man. Like, my body feels good. For me, it's always been about just keeping my conditioning where it needs to be, you know.
Yeah.
Being pliable, being flexible, but keeping my legs strong.
Yeah. Have you changed up in how you working and stuff now? Right, because I know later on in my career, or even now, I'll squat and do certain things, but I'm not power cleaning. You know, I'm not doing any of the big explosive movements anymore? Like, has your workouts and body has changed when it comes to that?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I've tweaked some things and added some things as well. You know, I do a lot of Pilates now, and that's something that I wish at a younger age I would have kind of, you know, brought into my regimen of things to do. But I've learned that that right there, whew, that opens up so much, you know. And it's a full body strength, especially the core Pilates, you know. So that's something that I've been doing a little different. Doing a little more yoga just to keep the body flexible.
Man, I try to tell, is it regular yoga, hot yoga, or the Bikram?
I do regular, and then I do the Bikram too.
Do the Bikram.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into that my last year, and it was something I wish, like you said, I wish I learned my first year or two, and nutrition too. I think that was another part. I was just eating whatever, and I was drinking and doing all kinds, just doing whatever I wanted to do, because you're young enough, you know, your body can bounce back from it. But if I knew what I knew at the last year or so of my career, I would have done Bikram or even hot yoga, 60 or 90 minute, because it changed everything I'm doing. You know, I feel better now than I did, you know, 10 years ago, because I do yoga, I do all this stuff. And I wish I picked that up early on, man. It would have changed a lot.
Yeah. It's big time. And that's what's helping me continue to have this longevity, you know, doing those things and, you know, just staying consistent with it. And just being, like you say, man, the nutrition part is big too. Just being more conscious of what you put in your body as well. Cause that's one thing I have noticed. I can't eat the same things that I used to eat. You know, I can get away with it a little bit now just because of genetics, but I've noticed that, hey, okay, I'm about to switch some things up as far as what I'm drinking or, you know, the foods and stuff that I put in my body, because the body, you know, recovers differently.
Yeah, no, big time. So what's next, man? Like, I know you got 3-4 more years that you want to play, and I'm not doubting nothing else. Whatever you, if you say four more years, and somebody asks me, I say, yo, he's playing 4 more years. Trust me.
Yeah.
So what's next, man? You got some stuff going outside of that too, right? Because I mean, I see you at a couple different charity events. Obviously, the Tim Tebow one, and then we ran into each other at a couple more. Well, like, what else, man, do you got outside of football? Because one of my biggest things I think that would help me is the last year or two that I knew I was kind of going to start wrapping up. Obviously, you got played way longer than I did. But I started wrapping my head around some of the things I wanted to do after.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're not mentally saying, oh, okay, I want to be done. But at the same time, like, in order to have that balance in a way, I started to kind of put things together. So when I was done, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. You know, for me, so, you know, I own a gym down in Houston, me and Trent Williams. So, you know, that's something that I'm thinking about kind of transitioning into, you know, doing some personal training. And I've always been, you know, interested in real estate, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So buying properties, flipping properties, remodeling properties and things like that too. I'm really passionate about that and got a good eye, and my wife as well, you know, so that's something that we have talked about, you know, us doing that together, you know. So
because she's heavily in a lot of the stuff you got off the field, right, in the business things you got going. I think I seen you two, y'all got you post something with each other not too long ago about some of the things you two were doing.
Yeah, you know, she owns her Elizabeth Cosmetics, you know, so she's into that as well. And, you know, looking to do some franchising, and, you know, some different things. That's kind of like, you know, just things that we're, you know, we've been talking and brainstorming about and getting things in place. And not just for when I retire, but just for life in general, you know, think about that generational wealth scenario, you know, for our kids and our family as well. So it's a lot of things that we got in the works right now. And so, you know, whenever I do decide to finish and hang up the cleats, I really feel like it's going to be an easy transition for me to just continue to roll in doing what I love to do and just have more time doing it, you know, because things I do now, I'll just have more time to commit to it.
I tell anybody, the hardest part, man, and in being done is the time. Right. Cause we so used to that regimen.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I retired, I got into TV and I started doing the TV thing and I started doing MMA and stuff like that. But It was different. It was like a weird time because, like, that's all you did for so long, and now you got this time to do something else, man. So I'm glad, dude. That's a lot. I didn't know about the gym thing. I got to come down there. I'm actually supposed to meet a few guys out there and train with some MMA gyms. Got a few MMA gyms out there.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing too. Like my trainer, he actually, when I met him, he's into mixed martial arts. And
Your trainer is?
Yeah, his name is James Cooper. And so yeah, we have that. You gotta come check out the gym when you come to Houston, man. The ring, you know, the cage. We got a boxing ring in there. We got the mat. We got a whole setup. It's nice.
So you train in MMA at all ever?
Not really. I haven't trained in.
Oh, boxing?
Yeah, boxing. I do a little boxing or whatnot, you know. So hey, I can definitely see myself getting into a boxing though.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I always say this. I say this every time because I took LT back when I was playing too, and LT had hands, but I always say, man, that I always believe it's a lot of MMA former football guys transitioning into either boxing or MMA. Mm-hmm. And I always say, man, we're a different breed. Like we're a different breed of athlete, and once we learn to start turning over your punches and learn how to strike from a distance and you get some skill with it, you're going to have Adrian Peterson, who decided to not, you know, keep playing football and say, oh, you know what? I got to play me 8 years. I'm going to go fight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm talking to guys now. I get DMs from guys that are currently playing that's thinking about being done and kind of transition back into MMA or some kind of combat sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. Like MMA, you know, there's so many different, you know, you got people that got, you know, Taekwondo and this all.
Jiu-Jitsu, yeah.
You know, you really got to be prepared when you go into that arena. So I could see myself doing that, but I would kind of lean more towards boxing more than anything. I ain't trying to get kicked and all that, you know, elbow in the head and all.
Have you ever sparred? Have you ever sparred anybody before?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like a full-on sparring, boxing sparring match?
Yeah. Yep.
How'd you do?
I did good. I ended up winning, you know. But
could you ever see you doing like an exhibition fight, like a charity, something like that or whatever, when you got done?
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I normally tell guys, hey, listen, I'm going to hit you as hard as you hit me. You know, I'm not really trying to hurt you. You know, I'm just trying to get some work in, get the cardio. But if I feel like your intensity went up, then I'm going to go ahead and make sure you bring that back down.
You got to, though. Especially, it goes back to Adrian Peterson walking the gym. And, you know, you got a lot of people with pride or a lot of people want to, you know, do something against you because it's you.
Yeah.
And I say that to sparring partners all the time. I can go in and work my jab and work on little stuff. But if I feel any kind of time, you turning up, this whole thing going up in flames.
Exactly.
So I'm just telling you, when you retire and I reach out to you for that charity boxing match, I'm going to be putting it together. I'm letting you know.
All right, I'm good. Just know I'll be down for sure.
All right. Hey, my dude, man, I appreciate it, bro. You coming on. And seriously, man, I can't even wait to see in the next 3-4 years, man. It's just mind-blowing that you continue to be explosive and continue to do what you're doing, man. And it's just insane to see, man. So I appreciate you coming on, my dude.
No problem. Thanks for having me, man. And I can say it here first. The best is yet to come. These last 2-3 years, you know, they've been decent, you know. But I've learned a lot over these past 2-3 years. And coming back to next year, you're gonna see some of the old Adrian Peterson for sure, more consistently. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, dog, I ain't doubting nothing you're doing anymore. Trust me.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Trust me, bro. Man. Hey, my dude, I appreciate it, man. I'm going to go ahead and log out of here. Thanks for coming on, dude. I appreciate that for real.
All right, no problem. Take it easy, brother.
What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in again. Look, we just went over 170,000 downloads, and that's all because of you guys. I appreciate that. Adrian Peterson, man, that was fun. At least fun on this side now that we're interviewing and I don't get a chance to play against him anymore. But, man, he still looks great, and it's almost a you know, looks impossible what he's doing right now and how he's still producing. And he wants to play another 3, 4, 5 more years. And I doubted him the first time when he told me 2-3 years ago, and I'll never doubt him again. So just all around is one of my guys. Thanks to him for coming on, and thank you guys for tuning in. Keep subscribing, leaving your reviews, and let's keep it going, man. This is just been great. So we'll be back next week. Happy holidays, everybody, and hopefully having a good time with your friends and family and loved ones, and enjoy.